The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon.
Our guest today is Kevin J. Briggs. Mr. Briggs is an author who specializes in consciousness and the connection to ETs, or UFOs, and UAPs, as it were. His recently published book is titled Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey, and covers 57 years of his experiences of ET contact and UAP connection. Kevin speaks to many groups of UAP and ET enthusiasts and is always well-received. Kevin has written articles which have been published in Truth magazine. He has also written an article about his ET experiences, which have been published in the New Observations magazine. Kevin has also appeared on local radio station and recently filmed for a TV show, Unlocking Your Limitless Life, hosted by Susan Schatzer. He was also a keynote speaker in Miami at the Consciousness and Contact Experiencer Conference, hosted by the Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial and Extraordinary Experiences, or FREE. Kevin has also been a guest on the Whitley Strieber radio show, Unknown Country, and many others. He is a co-author with Melissa Kennedy and Edgar Yohe of the recently published book, Tap into Universal Energy, Understanding Cosmic Energy and Consciousness. Our recent guest, Kathleen Martin, spoke highly of Kevin Briggs, so I asked her to introduce us, and she was kind enough to do so. So here he is. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Well, thank you, David. Thank you for inviting me. I do appreciate it. And without people like yourselves, I cannot get my word out, my story out. And I've been asked to speak out by my ET guides about 5 years ago. So I should be thanking you for inviting me on your show. So thank you very much.
I think that's what it's all about. I think my family and I had experience back when I was a kid. And I've got a friend up north. You may have heard of T.J. Ryan, who does the podcast called Out There. And we tease each other. We're like brothers. And he calls me the E.T. What's he call me? I have been rejected by E.T. I haven't been abducted since then. But my purpose is to interview people like you who have been there and researchers like yourself and authors like experiencers like yourself. So he calls me the ET reject. That's it. So, okay, I'll take that from him. Probably what it is, you know.
That's funny. Isn't it? Yeah, I think we're all coming together now, David. You know, it's one big family. Everybody's been had these connections from many from childhood, like myself. Yeah. And now we've been used to speak out about it. And as I say, you know, we're all part of that family now that are sharing our experiences and sharing it with the people who don't have an understanding yet or don't even believe that there are ETs and UFOs. So it's really educational as well, I suppose. You know, we've been educated individually and we each have a role to play, a part within the whole disclosure movement, as it were. And like I say, your show is part of that. It's a very important part as well, because without that, people like myself, Kathy Marden, and many others that are speaking out don't have a voice. So, again, I'll thank you again, David, before I forget.
Okay, thank you. So, tell me, what first sparked your interest in UAP and paranormal phenomena?
Well, it started when I was 3 years old. My mother engaged a photographer to come and take some photographs for the family album. And I was lifted up onto the dining room table. And from that elevated position, I realized that I was in a physical body again. And I the two sides of me, the spiritual side and the physical side. And the spiritual side was looking out of the physical. And that was my first recollection of being in this particular physical at this time. Mm-hmm. And then the next encounter would be, I was 8 years old. I was taking a bath at home. I was always sensitive to vibrational frequencies around me. I could feel if deceased family members came into a room or other entities came into a room as a child. And on this occasion, I was taking the bath and I felt the change in the frequency within the bathroom, and two beings materialized at the right-hand side. Frightened me to death at the time, as you can imagine, being an eight-year-old. And they were speaking telepathically to one another, which I could understand. And as I say, I was terrified. One male, one female, both very attractive, wearing blue jumpsuit-type garments. They had deep blue eyes, long blonde shoulder-length hair, both of them. And as I say, they were speaking telepathically. And the female, D, questioned the male and said, "Is this the boy?" And the male, who is Ort, he's Arcturian, and he replied saying, "Yes, this is a boy." And then D questioned him again. He said, "Are you sure this is a boy? Look at him, he's small, he's uneducated, and he's frightened by our presence." And she was correct. He said, "Yes, this is a boy, I will guide him, I will teach him." There was some other conversation in that, and then they left. And I didn't get out of the bath, I was terrified. The water went cold, my mother came in to see why I was still in the bath, and I told her about the two beings, and she said it was just my imagination. It wasn't. I've been in touch with them all my life now, and I'm now 68. And Ort, the Arcturian, he's fifth dimensional, and he is true to his word. He's shown me many things about our reality, about the extended reality that we are in, that we're not all aware of at the moment. But so I've been educated to a level now where I can communicate at their level. And they 5 years ago, they asked me to speak out about my lifelong experiences with them. And they asked me to write the book. And they did say that I would write two books. And I've written the second book with Melissa Kennedy and Edgar Yeo. So I've done what they asked me to do. And now I'm just speaking out and getting the word out there, as many are now. So that's my first encounters with the ET, if we call them ETs, higher conscious beings, interdimensionals, whatever label you want to put on them.
You know, I ask virtually every guest, are they extraterrestrial, other dimensional, or both? Are you saying that they're extraterrestrial? Or rather, other dimensional?
I said they are extraterrestrial. They're also multidimensional in okay. relation, when I say that, in relation to the dimensions are just frequencies. This is what they've taught me. And depending at the frequency is where the life is having the physical. So their frequency is higher than ours. So they're in the fifth dimension. So if you just consider them in like a ladder, ladders, and they come down to the third dimension by lowering the vibrational frequencies, and I'm able to go up to their higher levels of consciousness by altering my frequency, so I can communicate with them telepathically. I can travel outside of my physical body at will, but they have all these abilities. So I think we're no different to them, other than we haven't been educated to that level yet. And now I believe that that's what's happening.
Are they physical like we are?
Yes, they have a physical. They've when they materialized in the bathroom when I was eight, to me, they were just physical. I had them in my home about 5 years ago. Middle of the night, I got up to go to the bathroom. I came back from the bathroom, and there's a bright light outside the window. It came in through the window into the bedroom, and it lit up the whole bedroom like a myriad of butterflies. And then Art and Dee, they materialized in the bedroom. And after pleasantries, I asked them what was the reason for their visit. And that's when they said they wanted me to write about my lifelong experiences with them. I said, I don't mind talking about it, but I'm not a writer. And they said, well, we will continue to guide you. We will continue to teach you, and we'll give you information to include in the book, which they did. So, so they do have a physical, and but they've got more technology than we have as well. So, but I believe they're no different to us, other than their lineage is a little bit longer, probably, and they've passed down the information through their lineage, and they're able to travel as I do outside of the body. They're able to do that. I've met them many times on the astral plane, where we communicate and share information, and they've shown me the different dimensions as well, where our deceased family members who still exist without the physical, but they're at that higher level of consciousness, just a vibrational frequency. So I'm able to travel up to those frequencies because I was taught how to do that by Art and Dee. And I believe we all have these abilities, David. We're just not taught them, and we don't develop them. Well, right. I mean, I don't think I would have done. My brother is a retired aircraft engineer, very successful, had his own business, but he doesn't have any of the extra abilities or education that I had. So he's just a normal guy doing a normal job, and that would have been me without the education from Art and Dee.
Yeah, I've always believed we all, and I've been taught too, that we all have that sixth sense. We just don't develop it. Do you consider, obviously, that you had this heightened sixth sense, or were psychic back when you were a child?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I wasn't aware what it was then, but as a child, say a deceased person came into the room now where I'm here, I could feel that change in that vibrational frequency and then communicate with that conscious energy. And I knew I could do that as a child. So it's really just been extending those abilities and being taught. And they didn't, like some experiences, they took them into a classroom and taught them that way, or took them onto a craft and taught them in the classroom. With me, they just gave me experiences, shared experiences with Art and Dee, and with other extraterrestrials or ETs, whatever you want to call them. But so minor experiences rather than being sat down in the classroom.
Okay. I guess you could say I'm a friend of a world-class psychic medium. And I've asked him to join me on my show, and he was going to. But then I said, we're going to talk, my show's about UFOs, and we're going to talk about people who've had these UFO experiences. And for some reason, don't ask me why, out of all the people that he's read, psychically, as a medium, he doesn't really accept the ET phenomenon. So he said, I'm afraid I wouldn't fit your show. So he never came on. I won't say his name, but you probably know who I'm talking about.
Well, I think that's a pity, David, because being a medium is having those extended abilities to be able to communicate with the our deceased family members and friends and whatever. Right. And it's the same modality. They're just using consciousness. Consciousness itself is the key. It can be used for communication, for travel, for healing, for creation, for co-creation. And that's what the mediums do when they're connecting with the deceased family members and friends. Right. They're just raising their own vibrational frequency or tapping into that higher frequency to speak to our deceased families and friends. So, but really, it's just taking it one step further to then speaking with the extraterrestrials, the ETs, the higher dimensionals. It's no different, really. So a shame, really, it didn't come on your show, but even just speaking about being a medium, speaking to the deceased family members and things, or friends, or reading for people, then that's part of it. That's part of consciousness. That's part of the reality that we create using thought and consciousness.
Right. So was there a sighting of any awareness of these beings' physical craft associated with their visitation?
Yes. I'm able to call the craft in if I want to see them. And very often I get downloads of information. Some of this information is technical information, scientific information that I have no knowledge of. I had a download of the quantum unified field theory. I'm just sat by my pool and all this information just comes into my head in an instant. And they explained that our scientists' understanding of the quantum unified field theory was correct with the weak force, the strong force, the electromagnetic force, and the gravitational force. However, there's a fifth force, a fifth interaction, which is consciousness itself. And if your scientists include consciousness within their own quantum unified field theory, they will have a better understanding. So when that happened, I said, well, you're just giving me all this information. I know nothing about it. Can you show me a craft to confirm that the information's come from you? And a craft appeared immediately outside my pool cage where I was sat. I went inside to get my wife. I said, Sandy, come out here quickly. There's a craft. I want you to have a look at it. The craft was still there when we went out. Then a second one, third, four, five, seven appeared, flew silently over our heads, changed direction by about 80 degrees, and then flew off silently and disappeared sequentially as have they had a river arrived. And my wife witnessed that. So in conjunction with the downloads, I always ask for confirmation, not always a craft, but other forms of confirmation. And that helps with my confidence in relation to relating the information that I've been given. They gave me another download about the theory of everything. Again, I'm just sat by my pool. I know very little about that. But they said that, again, your scientist's understanding of the theory of everything is correct. However, there's a measurement problem within their calculations. And the measurement problem relates to space, time, and dimension. And they said, again, if your scientists include C as a constant for consciousness within their calculations, then that they will solve that space-time dimension problem and the measurement problem. So again, you just give me all this information in a download. I'm not a scientist. You know, can you show me a craft to confirm the information has come from you? Using thought and consciousness, and a craft appeared immediately and flashed 1, 2, 3 times. So that was confirmation. My wife didn't witness that one, but the other downloads and things I receive, I always ask for confirmation. And obviously, because that communication is there using thought and consciousness.
Well, when you get this download and you don't really understand what they're saying, you hear them, you know what they're saying, but you don't understand what's going on because you're not a scientist. Do you confirm any of this information with scientists?
Oh, yeah, I could talk about it now, yeah, because they give me an understanding of the quantum unified field theory now in relation to more downloads with more information. Yes, I could speak to scientists who have an understanding of the quantum unified field theory or the theory of everything. They've even given me a download of an equation for calculating the different dimensions. As again, I mentioned earlier, they're just frequencies, and those frequencies can be calculated. So they've given me an equation that bring both the quantum unified field theory and the theory of everything together. to educate our scientists to that, to bring in consciousness itself within our scientific communities. So now I do have an understanding of it because they've given me an understanding of it. Yeah.
So I guess my question, have you gone to a scientist who you know, a physicist, for example, and said, this is what I'm getting. Is that true? And they said, well, yeah, that's true. How'd you know about that? Something to that effect.
Ray Hernandez, he's got a new book coming out, I think August 1st, and it's titled A Greater Reality. And within that book, he's got a chapter from all the leading scientists in relation to the modalities of contact that he is aware of through his ET contacts. Yeah. I was asked to be a contributor to that book, and I've written a chapter. And within that, I explain what we've just been talking about, and I've included the equation for the calculating the dimensional frequencies. And if you look at the list of the scientists, they're all our leading scientists.
Yeah.
So what Ray's doing, what part of his work, I believe, is bringing the scientists together with the experiencers like myself. And very often some of these scientists are experiencers, but they're unable to speak about it because it would damage their careers. Uh-huh. So we, the experiencers, can speak out about it without damaging our careers. And now Ray Hernandez is bringing the scientists and the experiencers together in his new book. I think there's four volumes to it. And if you read the list of the scientists that are contributing the chapter, they're our leading scientists in all these different fields. And then he's also filmed a documentary in relation to that. And he asked me to, would I appear in the documentary? So I'm in the documentary with Kathy Marden and Denise Stoner and Dr. Melanie Barton. And I actually do a channel, and I think art comes through, and that's recorded, and that's going to be included within the documentary. So he's doing a tremendous amount of work. So as I said earlier, David, it's not just me. There are many out there, many been doing it for many years, like Kathy Marden. You know, she's been speaking out about her contact and her family's contact going back a couple of generations, I believe. So it's been ongoing for a long time. But now it's accelerating. We are moving towards what they call the reveal, when they reveal themselves physically, globally, to our society.
I can't wait. I've had Ray Hernandez on this show before, and he's great. He's just great. But I need to take a moment right now to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, and we're speaking with author and experiencer, Mr. Kevin J. Briggs. So back to this. On an interview... Okay, I'm not going to say Susan.
Oh, Susan Schatzer.
Schatzer, yes. Sorry about that. You talked about leaving your body and going to places like your grandparents' house and witnessing what they were doing at the time, et cetera, et cetera. So did you ever inform your grandparents or anyone else that you may have visited in your astral body?
Not in the early years, no, because that came about, I was 9 years old. I'd had some friends around at our home. It was tea time, about 5 o'clock, and they were leaving. So I showed them out the back door, and then I turned around, and I felt this higher frequency, this higher vibration in their home somewhere. So I went looking for it, and I went upstairs in the bedrooms, bathroom, came back down into the kitchen, into the living room where it was the strongest, and I looked behind the curtain, the drapes, and there was an orb there, an orange orb, about 4 to 6 inches across, and it was slightly vibrating, and I didn't know at the time, but that was Ort, his pure conscious energy, and he stayed in the home for a whole week, and it didn't leave until the Friday. So he came on the Sunday, and he left on the Friday. And I thought I was maybe getting into trouble with my mother, if she saw it, because I felt that I'd invited it into the home. Anyway, after that, there was no direct communication with the orb, but after it left, my psychic abilities were enhanced no end to where I could leave my body at will, and I would travel over. Just my grandparents lived in Liverpool at the time, which was about 70 miles away, and I would just relax, open my mind, as I call it, travel over there. I would come down in through the roof, and I would sit upstairs. They had a dressing room in the master bedroom, and I would sit in there looking down through the floor, and the floor was opaque. My grandmother would usually be in the kitchen cooking on a Sunday, and my grandfather either watching TV or reading the newspaper. And it gave me great comfort to do that. And I do it all the time. It's just normal. But I believe they activated something within my DNA that, I mean, there are many people that can travel outside of the body. Many people do remote viewing. Again, it's all using consciousness. But I think mine was enhanced to help educate me, really. I think that was the real reason for it.
So did you ever go to your grandparents and say, this is what you were doing at such and such a day at such and such a time, and to get confirmation of your visitation?
No, I never did. In fact, I didn't speak about it to anybody until I got to about 16 or 17. And I thought, I used to just, if I was at home, and I thought, oh, I'll go see if my friends at home. But instead of getting up and walking around, I'd just leave my body and see if he was at home. If he was at home, then I would walk around to his house. So I used to use it like that. Or if I was going to work in the morning, I could go to two different bus stops. And sometimes there was a huge line at one and a huge line at the other. So I'd just leave my body. I'd go and look at the different lines at the bus stop and then choose which one to walk to. So I would just use it normal like that. And I got to about 16 or 17. And I thought, nobody talks about this. Nobody mentions it. So I started asking my family and friends, and I asked in the third party. I said, oh, I have a friend of mine who travels outside of his body at will, and he goes and visits people. Do you know anybody that does that? And everybody said, no. So when I was, again, about 17, yeah, probably about 17, I thought, well, there's much more to this. I will ask Ort. So one night I went to bed. I held my hand out. And I asked Ort, I said, I know there's much more to this, more information. I need more knowledge about this. Can you come and show me? And he came, he took hold of my hand, and we left out through the window. And we just flew around the subdivision, out of body. Bearing in mind, I'm used to doing that on my own, but doing it with Ort, the fifth dimensional being, was new to me. So we came back in. I woke up the following morning, and I thought, well, that was cool. I didn't know whether I was dreaming, whether it was real or not. So I thought I'd do the same thing the following night. So again, I held my hand out. I opened my mind and asked Ort to come and show me more. He came. He took hold of my hand. I looked down. I could see my body asleep. And again, nothing unusual for me, but traveling with someone else. We went out through the window. We traveled down to Leeds City Centre, where I lived at the time, worked at the time. I was a technician at the university there. We flew around the centre. I saw the university, the hospital, the town hall, the many buildings that I recognised, then flew back to my apartment into the window. My body was asleep. I looked at my body. I went down into my body and woke up in the morning. So that was two nights on the top, and I'm still not fully convinced yet, David. So I tried a third time, and exactly the same. Only this time I said to Ort, look, I'm a bit concerned about going out through this window because I'm three stories up and it's concrete pavement below. And I don't know whether I'm sleepwalking, dreaming or what. Can we go out through the roof? And he said, yeah, no problem. So we went out through the roof and we flew further. And I had many journeys with him then from then on. So the people, I didn't really tell them really. Until I got later on, I told my wife about it. Because I was going to ask her to marry me, and I thought it was important that she knows I'm able to speak to deceased family and friends. I'm able to travel outside of my body at will, and she really needs to know that if I'm going to ask her. So I told her, and she accepted it. So we're still together now, some 40 years later, I think. So
very good. Now, when you say your guides, these two extraterrestrial, other dimensional guides, you say, is it Ort or Ort?
Ort, O-R-T.
And the female is...
And his partner, I don't know whether they're married or not, I've never asked them, but his partner is D, and she spells her name D-E-E, and they tell me they're fifth dimensional beings, they're both Acturian, they come from Andromeda, and they describe themselves as guides and teachers. That's their occupation, as it were. So, and they tell me I'm part of their extended family. The only difference being I'm at a lower vibrational frequency in the third dimension where my physical is, and their physical is in the slightly higher dimension, the fifth one, and that's the... So really, we're no different to them, David, I think. We just don't have that education.
Right. Well, education or the ability to work on our sixth...
I would agree with that. Because I understand now, because I've been talked about, I've already mentioned the modalities of contact using consciousness, it's a conduit for communication, which will be telepathic, for travel, which is out-of-body travel, for healing, we're able to heal ourselves and heal others using thought and consciousness. Right. And then creation, we create the reality. We first have a thought... using consciousness before we create anything, then we create it. And then we can co-create with the higher conscious beings, jointly co-create, and that's what I'm trying to do now, is co-create the reveal with my ET guides, with the group of eight ETs I'm in contact with. And that's the work that I'm working towards now. I'm co-creating using thought and consciousness, sharing that consciousness, expanding that consciousness, so we grow collectively as a species. And that's what's happening. We're evolving now and moving into those higher levels of consciousness itself.
Right. Well, you've talked about this Council of Eight. You just mentioned the eight people or beings. Tell us about the Council of Eight and when you first encountered them.
Okay. I was 14 years old when I first encountered them. When I was 14, I lived in the UK, and I had a paper round. And every morning I'd get up, go and collect my papers. And as I did, a UFO would appear, as we called them then, above the house. And then it would be joined by a second UFO that came from another direction. And then it would follow me around the paper round till I'd finished. And then when I went back home, one would usually go back in the direction it had come from, and the other one would go straight back up into space. And while I was doing the paper round, I was always aware, again, David, of that vibrational frequency, that extra frequency. There was always a being behind the wall, behind the hedge, behind the fence, and I could sense it was there. And on one occasion, I said, "I know you're there. Can you show yourself?" And two small greys appeared. I wasn't frightened, and I asked them what they wanted. They said there was a group of people that wished to meet with me. And I said, "Well, I've got my paper round to finish. I've got to go to school. I can't be late for school." And they said, "Well, you can finish your paper round, and then we'll take you and we'll have you back in time for school." So I agreed to go with them. I finished the paper round, and I was taken in a craft up to a mothership. And I only know it was a mothership because of the size of it. When we went into the hangar, there was a huge amount of crafts, all different shapes and sizes, all the ones that we see that people take photographs of or people draw them or whatever. And it was huge. And I was led down to an amphitheatre. The amphitheatre was full of people and different species. It was full. And then at the front of the amphitheatre, there was a table and there was eight beings on there. I come to know Art and Dee, who were the first two that materialised in my bathroom. Then Anna, Zach, Ra, he's the leader, he's Anunnaki, Tag, Chica and Orla. And I was introduced to them all, and I thought I was there as a human specimen. I realised that wasn't the case now. And I know when I got introduced to Chica, he was a mantis-type being. He's a scientist, and but very scared, back, just like a big grasshopper. So I was a bit frightened by that. And Anna, she's the blue bird-type being. Being empathic, she came and put her arm around me, or her wing, whatever, I can't remember now. Mm-hmm. But... because she felt I was perturbed by seeing this big grasshopper. But I realise now that I wasn't there as a human specimen. That was the council meeting, the Council of Eight. All those people in the audience were the delegates, And just like we would have, like at the UN, the United Nations, or the Congress, or any government bodies, that's what it was. And I was there to be introduced to them. And I'm still in contact with all eight of them to this day. And they asked me to do things telepathically, or they'll turn up in my home. And I work with them in relation to working towards what they call the reveal of their global presence to us. And that will now come through the citizens of Earth, which we are seeing that's happening now. We've all been educated. We're all coming together as a big family. And I'm able to call the craft in whenever I want. And so are the others, the other experiences. Many of them that I've met, and many, I was talking to an experiencer last week, and she was given the download of the quantum unified field theory as well. And she's not a scientist, although she has a PhD, it wasn't as a scientist. And she said, "Kevin, it's amazing to hear you talk about it, because that's exactly the information she was given." So that helps other experiencers come together with the information they're being given when we are all sharing that. And so I think that's an important part of it as well.
Have they said when this quote-unquote reveal would occur?
No, they did. They have asked me to contact our governments, which I have done. I contacted Nicholas Hedman, the chairman of the Outer Space Affairs Committee in Vienna, in relation to a mandated protocol. Do we have one to receive the ETs? I did, because that's what they want. I did receive a response saying there was no mandated protocol at this moment in time. This was a couple of years ago now. And I asked how would we implement one, and we had to get a member state to propose a mandated protocol to be voted on. So then that's as far as I got with that on that particular occasion. They asked me again to contact the United Nations again. And I contacted Nicholas Hedman's office, and I contacted Dr. DiPippo in Washington, D.C. at the office there, asking about a mandated protocol. Can we have one for the ETs? And on that occasion, they give me a date and time where they wanted to meet. And when they gave me that information, it was in a download one evening.
I was just going to say, when you say they, you mean the extraterrestrials?
Yes, when I say they, I meant the group of eight. You know, it's usually ought to communicate with me. Ra does periodically, Zark does, the others do, but I say they. They're part of who I am. So, you know, I look at them as an extended family now, really. So, what was interesting with that, when they gave me the actual times and dates where they wanted to meet, and I wrote to Nicholas Hedman's office in Vienna, and I've got all the emails. About 8 days after I'd sent the emails, Terry Lovelace, he contacted me. Terry Lovelace is a lifelong experiencer. He's a retired assistant attorney general for two jurisdictions. He's also a retired law professor. And he said, "Kevin, I've been contacted by his ET guides and been given the exact same time and date and information that I'd been given." So I told him I'd written to Nicholas Hedman's office in Vienna and Dr. DiPippo in Washington, D.C. And he said, "I know Dr. DiPippo. I will write to him as well, supporting what you are saying, because my ETs have given me the exact same information." So neither of us received a reply from either Dr. DiPippo or Nicholas Hedman's office on that particular occasion, because we'd given them an open invitation with a time and date. Yeah. How are they going to deal with that? Very difficult for them, I suppose. So, but interesting that, and again, I've got all the emails, I've got Terry's emails. Terry then tried through the back channels within government that he knows, and he'll tell you this story himself, and he got what he calls the pushback. So our governments are not ready yet to reveal the fact that the ETs are here, they are amongst us, a part of who we are, really, part of our history, our galactic history that's been denied us. So it's going to be a huge step for our governments. So I know they are slowly coming round and releasing more information. And I saw just recently that Gary Heseltine, who I know published an article in his Truth magazine, and he's a retired police officer like myself from the UK. He worked in the same areas. He was invited to the Brazilian Senate just a couple of weeks ago, I believe, to speak about the ET contact. A great honour, I think, for Gary for all the work that he's been doing. But it shows that the Brazilians are now open to the fact that the ETs are here, and it's part of their culture as well.
Oh, yeah.
They had a very famous... Oh, sorry, David, I think you wanted to say something.
Oh, finish what you were going to say. I need to take a break.
The Brazilians, part of their culture, they had a very famous experiencer called Chico Javier, and he had contact, extensive contact, and I think he wrote over 500 books in relation to the ETs, and it's passed now, but all the money he made from the books he put back into the society. And all his prophecies are coming true now. And interesting to see that the Brazilian government are leading the way in relation to having open contact. Now, if we can get, it doesn't matter which government, to pass a mandated protocol to receive the ETs, then I can invite them. The other experiencers can invite them. We can set up our own time and date, place for the reveal. And that's what I'm working towards now.
And I'll bet that the U.S. will be the last on that list to, you know, let's keep this a secret as long as possible. But it is starting to leak out slowly. But I need to take a break one more time just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. And we're speaking with the experiencer and author, Mr. Kevin J. Briggs. Kevin, tell us, are all of these eight beings that you're referring to, are they from planets within our galaxy?
That's a good question. I know Ottendee are from Andromeda. I know Zark is from the Pleiades system. I don't know where the others are from particularly. I know Ra, he's the Anunnaki. I've actually channeled him. His energy is tremendous, tremendous energy. And he's very old. He tells me he's over 5,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And but I don't know where. I think he just lives in the ninth dimension now, where he doesn't have a physical, but he's able to come down to the physical if he wants to. But he's one of the, as close as you can get to like source energy, as you can really, source conscious energy. But he leads this particular group of eight.
Yeah. Are you aware of any other beings who come from another galaxy?
I've spoken to a small group that's got, I think we've got a base in Sedona somewhere called the Penti. I don't know where they're from originally, but I listened to a talk by Susan Walker, I think, about these Penti people. I'd never heard of them. It's P-NTI. She's got a website. So I thought, I'll see if I can connect with them telepathically. So I did, and I saw two, and they came and they spoke to me, and then they left. And I went on her website, and she's got the names of some of these Penti beings, and... the two that I saw were the first two on the website. That was just fascinating, really. And I've had others. I've had greys come into my home. I had a group of eight greys come one evening. My dogs woke me up because they were barking. And again, I don't know which galaxies they're from. They didn't tell me that. But I went out to see what the noise was. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I opened the door. I put all my lights on first because I thought it might be a burglar or something. And then I let my dogs out, and I saw these eight greys walking across my front paddock towards me. So I thought, oh, I better go inside with my dogs. I don't want my dogs biting them or whatever. So I went inside. I didn't know what to do, so I just stood there. And the door opened slowly to about 8, 10, 12 inches or whatever. And then the next thing, I woke up in bed, and I thought, oh, it must just be a dream. And then the following morning, my wife said to me, Kevin, do you realize you left the front door open last night? And then the memories came back of the door continuing opening. The eight greys came in. They sat down on my sofas, and we had a meeting. I remember the meeting now, but I don't know what was discussed. Where they were from, who they are, I don't know, but once you have the abilities to connect, you can connect with many species, I'm sure. So they're just a couple of examples that I have. But I don't always ask where they're from. I'm really just working with the Council of Eight now in relation to this reveal. And I believe that's probably the reason why they educated me to this level of understanding of consciousness itself. As I said, it can be used for communication, travel and all that. So I can communicate at their level and communicate with them and ask them questions.
Well, it would seem like, if I may say, if they can control human beings from harming them, then they could control a couple dogs.
Yes, I'm sure. Oh, without a doubt, yes. I think that's probably just my own human emotions. I didn't want, but I've got two big German shepherds. They're very friendly, but they, I don't know what they do if they saw eight greys. They always chase other dogs or other birds and things that come down into the paddock and things. But so I was fearful that the dogs might bite them. But yeah, you're correct there in what you say, David. I'm sure they will be able to control them, yes, without a doubt.
Yeah, I would think. Have you ever been approached by what is commonly referred to as Men in Black or
I haven't had that yet. I've been speaking out for 5 years now. I kept expecting a knock on the door, but I haven't had them, no. But I am protected by the Council of Eight. They do protect me. I ask for their protection, and they say that they are protecting me because I cannot do the work if I'm... they keep me healthy, and so I can do the work, really.
Right. But you have approached earthly authorities, as you have said.
Yeah, I was also asked by Ra one Sunday morning. He came. He didn't materialize, but he gave me a telepathic information, and he wanted me to write to the White House. Again, asking for a mandated protocol in relation to receiving the ETs. I didn't receive a reply. I wasn't expecting one. But I wrote, they asked me to write on two occasions, and I did, and I certified them. So I know that the White House received them. So they, but it's a huge leap. You know, you've just got a normal everyday guy writing to the White House, asking for a mandated protocol, because he speaks to ETs, extraterrestrials, high dimensional beings. Well, it's such a leap for them. They asked me to do it. I was very reticent to do that. I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks before I made up my mind to do it. And I wrote, and I didn't get a reply, but I did what they asked. And I know that, you know, I can call the craft in. I've been to conferences with others. There was on one occasion Theavers and Andy Bosman, David Cottrell and myself. Alan Steinfeld came up and asked us if we would our particular ETs, because we all have different ETs, would they show us a craft? So I said, oh, I'll ask them. So all three of us asked, and a craft appeared above the conference for an hour and 20 minutes, and everybody saw it. And then later on that day, Ananda came to me and said, let's go outside. It's about midnight now. Everybody had gone to bed. Let's go and see if our respective ETs will show us three craft. We went outside, waited about 10 minutes, nothing happened. So I'm going to bed. It's midnight. I'm tired. It's been a long day. I left. 2 minutes later, three craft appeared. And so we can call them in. And I have another friend of mine who's a retired detective from the UK, never believed in ETs, UFOs or anything. There's no such thing. He comes and stays with me two or three, a couple of times a year, probably. In fact, he's just gone back now. And I went inside to get a couple of beers. We were sat by the pool. And as I reached in to get the beers in the refrigerator, I said to my guides, now would be a good time to show Mash a craft. And he won't mind me mentioning his name because he will now speak about it if you ask him. I came outside, I put the beers down, I sat down, and a craft appeared immediately. And it went erratically across the back of our property, then shot up at strange angles, and then went straight up into space. Well, that changed his whole perspective. Now he's seen a craft. Now he's awake to the fact that there are ETs, there are craft flying around. He's now interested in the subject, and he sends me information. visitation. And while he was here, he had a visitation from a craft outside the window, and he'll talk about that as well. So I think that's really an example of how we as a species, once we see a craft, once we understand and become awake to the fact that there's more to us than just the physical, and where that we've got a galactic history that's been denied us, and we're part of that, and now we're at that level where hopefully we're all going to wake up to this new reality that we are going to create. We're going to co-create a reality that we desire for our children, for our future generations. But this new reality will include the ETs, the higher conscious beings, whatever label. And they're prepared to share their technologies with us, they tell me. They're particularly concerned about the nuclear pollution we have at the moment, and the Fukushima plant. They told me on a couple of occasions they're concerned about the radioactive pollution still leaking into the Pacific Ocean. So, and they have technologies that can help neutralize that, and they're willing to share that with us. But but first they need to be invited here, and we now, the citizens of Earth, we will invite them when we are ready, when they are ready, and we are moving towards that date fairly rapidly now, I think.
I hope. So, yeah, I know that they seem to, ET seems to have a great interest in our nuclear abilities or lack thereof.
Yeah, I'm sure, because obviously, you know, if we start using our nuclear weapons, it affects them. They live on the Earth here as well. As I've already mentioned, the Penti are here. I think the Tall Whites are here in the Mojave Desert, I believe, somewhere. They've got a base out there. So they share our planet with us. They've got a base on the moon. And they don't want us exploding these nuclear bombs again. In fact, they've told me that's the only time they will intervene if we use our nuclear weapons again.
Until then,
they've got to be invited here, be invited by the citizens of Earth itself. So that's what we're working towards. But they've got an interest in all our nuclear facilities, I believe. I think somebody's written a book about that, about the amount of interest in it. But because we're quite unstable, aren't we, as a species at the moment, David?
We're
warmongering, and we need to educate ourselves to those higher levels so we can dispense with the walls and have a like I've already said, create a new society.
It's like Stanton Friedman once said, they're looking at us with our nuclear weapons like the children have found the matches.
Yeah, that's quite true. Because I think you've got to develop spiritually as well, have an understanding of consciousness itself. Because when you look around, everything, if I look out of my window, all the other species that are here, the animals, the plants, the insects, the birds, they're all part of that shared consciousness.
Yeah.
And so we have to give them a safe haven, as it were, where they can live and communicate and be happy and enjoy their conscious being, as it were. So it's not just us. We're not even top of the food chain now. We realise that. But we have to be more respective of the other life forms, the other forms of consciousness that we share our physical reality with.
Yeah. This question may have already been answered, but I'll ask you anyway. Have your guides told you the purpose for visiting you particularly and mankind as a whole?
Yes, they are here to help with our evolution to the next level. And that next level of evolution is to have an understanding of consciousness, shared consciousness, and not just with one another, but with all the other galactic species, with the planet Earth itself is conscious. And we don't tend to understand that, because conscious energy are just vibrational frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And once you realize that and the importance of even just thoughts themselves, how important they are in relation to what we create.
So there are ETs walking among us, according to you. Is that right?
Yes, without a doubt. They're here on the planet. We don't see them. They have obviously cloaking devices and things. I know I had Art and D once material. They were in the bathroom where I live now. And I got up and I said, I know you're here. I can feel the frequencies. Can you show yourself? And they didn't show themselves, but they left a message on my phone. And it said, we can't show ourselves, we are cloaked. And it was, I gave it to my wife to listen to. And there's clearly a male voice there and a female voice. But on that occasion, so they're here, we just don't see them.
So they know how to call you anyway.
Oh, they can contact him in many ways. Yes. many modalities of contact. There's obviously dreams, telepathic communication, downloads, out-of-body communication. I even ask them to turn streetlights on and off. If I get some telepathic communication, I'll say, you just give me this telepathic information. Can you turn that streetlight off? And it'll go off immediately. Or if it's during the day, I've said, you just give me this telepathic communication while I'm out walking my dogs. Can you turn that streetlight on to confirm it's from you, and the streetlight comes on in the middle of the day. So, but when you do that all your life, you're very confident in the different modalities of contact that they use.
I've seen that on, I don't know if you watch Paranormal Caught on Camera.
I've seen it a couple of times. I don't watch it every time, but I've seen it a couple of times, yeah.
There was one guy that was in a cemetery, and he was allegedly speaking to discarnate spirits. And he asked them to turn the street light off or turn it back on. And they answered in like kind. And so are we dealing with spirit? Are we dealing with, was he dealing with ET? Or is this a mixture of both?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think it's many things. We've got the spiritual realm. We've got the deceased realm, as it were. We've got our realm, this third dimensional physical that we're in. We've got the spiritual side to who we are. And then you've got the higher dimensions as you climb up there, all the way up to the ninth dimension where Ra is without a physical. And then all the way up to conscious energy source itself. That's my understanding, that all these levels just keep elevating right up to the top. And that's when we, if we understand that and how important it is that we are part of this collective consciousness, really.
So you mentioned they're not only here, they're on the moon. Are there bases on the moon, on the backside of the moon, like so many?
On the backside of the moon, that's the information I've been given, yes.
You've been given this information by your guides?
Let me say, I've been given this information by someone that's deceased that had passed, who'd been around the other side of the moon, and we'll leave it at that.
You're not going to tell me, are you?
No. I do tell one story about him, but I haven't mentioned that before because I don't know. He's a very well known man, and again, it's like you say, David. You know, once you're able to speak to our deceased family members and friends, they can communicate with you as well. So it's just a modality of contact. But to a lot of people, it's so far fetched because they don't have a simple, rudimentary understanding of. Connecting with, because I don't see them as deceased, you see. I see them as they've got no physical. They're still there, but just at a higher level of consciousness.
I was telling my granddaughter the other day, she's 13, and she's saying something about ghosts and spirits. I said, you know, there are two ghosts in this room right now? There are? Yes. So you got one inside you, and I've got one inside me. Never thought of it that way. You
know? Yeah, I like that. That's a good analogy, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's quite a good analogy.
In other words, you tell a kid, don't be afraid of spirits because they're right here.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, where can our listeners go to find out more about your work, Kevin?
I do have a website. I've uploaded some interviews on there. People are interested. It's just kevinjbriggs.com, and it gives you access to some interviews and things that I've done. And my book, I've got Spiritual Consciousness. That's the book that covers a lot of the information in relation to some of my experiences. And then the other one I did with Tap Into Universal Energy. So if people want to buy them, they're on Amazon. You can get them. And then Kathy Marden's new book, I did quite a few channels with Kathy, and her book, Forbidden Knowledge, It's an excellent read, is that? And about half the, in fact, I think my picture appears on page 111, which is a universal number.
Okay, well, Kevin, I'm afraid we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, David. I've enjoyed myself.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage and scroll down to We Are Not Alone and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archived shows. Please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. Until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.